Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. This is the word of the Lord. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." This is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, Jesus comes within sight of Jerusalem. And we no longer hear the multitude rejoicing over Jesus, but instead we hear Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And as we consider his weeping over Jerusalem and why he was weeping over Jerusalem, we need to remember the parable that he spoke before he drew near to Jerusalem, and the parable that he told on account of his drawing near to Jerusalem. The parable of the nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. A parable that concerns Jesus' ascension into heaven to receive there the kingdom of heaven, before coming again in the glory of heaven. But how did the nobleman's citizens respond to his kingship? What did they say? They said, "We do not want this man to reign over us." The nobleman's own citizens become his enemies by rejecting him as their king. And the parable ends with his coming again, and his enemies, who did not want him to reign over them, being slaughtered before him. And this parable informs what happens as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem. For what happens as Jesus goes toward the city? His disciples rejoice. They praise God, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." His disciples confess Jesus to be their King. But not everyone joined them in this confession. There were some who objected to what the disciples were saying. There were some who objected to this confession. The Pharisees in the crowd, they rebuke Jesus for what his disciples were saying about him, that he was the Christ, that he was the King. In rebuking Jesus, they were rejecting this claim about Jesus. And so, as in the parable, what were the Pharisees really saying? "You are not our King." What the citizens said of the noblemen, the Pharisees say of Jesus. "We do not want this man to reign over us." The Pharisees' rejection of Jesus, it prepares us for Jerusalem's rejection of Jesus. It prepares us for the people's rejection of Jesus, which is why we find Jesus in verse 41 weeping over Jerusalem. "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." What are the things that make for peace? What are the things that make for peace that the people did not know? The mention of peace here in verse 42 connects this verse to the mention of peace in verse 38. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, we have already considered the meaning of that phrase, peace in heaven. But there are a few more things that we might say about it as we consider the meaning of this phrase, the things that make for peace, and what those things are. Remember that at the beginning of Luke's gospel, upon the birth of Jesus, the host of heaven proclaims peace on earth. And now, near the end of Luke's gospel, prior to the death of Jesus, the host of earth proclaims peace in heaven. The life of Christ, from its beginning to its end, was for the purpose of peace, for the purpose of making peace between earth and heaven, the making of peace between God and man. In the humiliation of Christ, God descended to earth to dwell among us. And in the exaltation of Christ, man has ascended to heaven to dwell with God, to dwell with God in peace. In Christ, God dwells with us in peace. And in Christ, we dwell with God in peace. That is why Jesus' journey did not end in the earthly Jerusalem. His journey did not end in the Jerusalem below, but in the Jerusalem above. His journey ended in the heavenly Jerusalem. And that is why we hear this phrase, peace in heaven. For Jesus did not go to Jerusalem to be seated on an earthly throne, but he went to Jerusalem there to lay down his life and to be raised to a heavenly throne. Peace in heaven means enthronement in heaven. Peace in heaven means enthronement in heaven. When there is no one to sit on the throne of a kingdom, is there peace in that kingdom? When the throne of a kingdom is contested, there is no peace in that kingdom. The peace of a kingdom depends upon its king being firmly established upon his throne. We see this throughout Scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, David, he dwells in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies. The king at rest upon his throne means peace for his kingdom. David at rest upon his throne meant peace for Israel. And we see that again with David's son. We see it in the days of Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 24, Solomon, the son of David, had peace on all sides around him, so that Judah and Israel lived in safety, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon. When the king is firmly established upon his throne, it means peace in his kingdom. And so it is with the kingdom of Christ. But where is Christ's kingdom? Where is Christ's throne? It is not in Jerusalem. It is not in this world. It is in heaven. Consider Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Sit at my right hand. Sit at my right hand in heaven until I make your enemies your footstool. That is where the throne of Jesus' kingdom is, in heaven, at the right hand of God. And so that is what Jesus will say to his enemies in Luke chapter 22, verse 69. From now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. The throne of Christ is in heaven. And so the proclamation of peace in heaven is the proclamation of Christ's enthronement in heaven. It is the proclamation of his receiving a kingdom in heaven. It is the proclamation of his reign in heaven, and that he is king over all things. It is why the Son of Man goes to heaven, to receive there a kingdom, there to sit on his throne until his enemies are made his footstool. Peace in heaven. It is the announcement of Christ's enthronement in heaven. And in Revelation chapter 12, we even see how the exaltation of Christ brings peace to heaven. For when the child of Revelation chapter 12 is taken up to heaven, who falls from heaven? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. The enthronement of Christ in heaven means peace in heaven. It means peace for you in heaven. It means peace for you in his kingdom. Unless, that is, you are his enemies. Unless you say, we do not want this man to reign over us. The enthronement of Christ in heaven means peace for you. Unless you are his enemies. And who are his enemies? His enemies are those who say, we do not want this man to reign over us. And that is how Jerusalem will respond to Jesus. They reject him as their king. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. What are the things that make for peace? Well, Jesus is the one who brings peace. Jesus is the one who is peace. And so, in order to have peace, you must make peace with him. In order to have peace, you must make peace with the King, with the one who is King over all things, with the one who is King of heaven and earth. In order to have peace, you must make peace with Jesus. For the exaltation of Christ in heaven means the destruction of all his enemies under his feet. For there is no one above him. There is no one beside him. Exalted upon the throne of heaven, who is there to oppose him? All are beneath him. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Before his name, every knee shall bow. At his name, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. In the end, whatever you say about him in this life, you will confess him as king. In the end, even those who said, "We do not want this man to reign over us," even they will confess him as their king, as they are made a footstool for his feet. Jerusalem's rejection of Jesus was the rejection of peace. Jerusalem's rejection of the reign of Jesus was the rejection of the kingdom of God. For the rejection of peace with Jesus is the rejection of peace with God. In rejecting Jesus, Jerusalem becomes the enemy of God. As Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, we hear in his weeping how Jerusalem has become his enemy. The people's ignorance in verse 42 reflects the people's ignorance in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 28 and 29. "For they are a nation void of counsel, and there is no understanding in them. If they were wise, they would understand this. They would discern their latter end." But in Deuteronomy chapter 32, the nation void of counsel is not God's people, but God's enemies. In Luke chapter 19, Jerusalem is not being contrasted with God's enemies, but it is being identified with God's enemies. And likewise in verse 44, as Jesus announces the destruction that awaits Jerusalem, he says, "Your enemies will tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you." Or we could translate it this way: "Your enemies will dash you to the ground, you and your children within you." The dashing of Jerusalem's children upon the ground in verse 44, it reflects the dashing of children upon the rock in Psalm 137. Psalm 137, verse 9, "Blessed is he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock." But in Psalm 137, the children are not the children of God's people, but the children of God's enemies. And so again, in Luke chapter 19, Jerusalem is not being contrasted with God's enemies. Jerusalem is being identified with God's enemies. And why? Because of their rejection of Jesus. You cannot be an enemy of Jesus and a friend of God. You You cannot be an enemy of Jesus and a friend of God. For Jesus is the Son of God, the Son whom He loves. You cannot love God and hate what He loves. You cannot have peace with God if you refuse peace with His Son. You cannot dwell with God if you reject the reign of His Son. Your history will not save you. Your ancestry will not save you. Only Christ can save you. Reject Him, and there can be no peace. Why did Jerusalem reject Jesus? Because the things that make for peace were hidden from her eyes. Verse 42, but now they are hidden from your eyes. It was the will of the Lord to hide it from their eyes. Unless the Lord wills it, you will not submit to the reign of Christ. Unless the Lord wills it, you cannot submit to the reign of Christ. That is what sin does within us. For all sin is rebellion against the reign of the Lord and against the reign of His Son. Do not boast in your submitting to the reign of Christ. For if you submit to His reign, it is only because the Lord has willed it. This is why Jesus went to Jerusalem. To bear the sins of His people. And to lay down His life. That He might overcome the rebellion within you. And that He might subdue you to Himself. The coming of Jesus to Jerusalem, it was the time of her visitation. As announced at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people and raised up a horn of salvation for us The coming of Jesus to Jerusalem was for the redemption of God's people. The coming of Jesus to Jerusalem was for the salvation of God's people. What then does it mean to reject Jesus? It means to reject your redemption. To reject Jesus is to reject the only way of salvation. And all that remains then is what? The visitation of the Lord in judgment. And that is how Christ will come when he comes again. He will come to destroy his enemies at his feet. But do not think that he delights in the death of the wicked. For he wept over the destruction of Jerusalem. Do not think that he desires the death of his enemies. So then let us have peace with God. How may we have peace with God? By making peace with his Son. By bending the knee before him. And confessing him as your King. Bending your knee before him and submitting to his reign. God has exalted his Son to sit on the throne of heaven. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. Let us pray.